So we are still on section number two, the initial investigative reviews. And the next one up is number 15, 2426, in regards to Roger Chen, DBM. And Tracy's going to read the summary for us.
Yes, case 2426, the complainant is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and the respondent is Roger Chen, DBM. At the August 16th, 2023, Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened an investigation after reviewing premises inspections conducted at Pride Animal Hospital. And this was brought directly back to you for your review and consideration.
Okay, thank you. So obviously the board is the respondent, and we do have Dr. Chen with us today, if you'd like to come forward. Thank you for being here. I can give you up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Sure. My name is Roger Chen, and I am the owner of Pride Animal Hospital Chandler. It's a small animal business, very small itself, and about four other systems in Army Bankies. And I just wanted to make like 3 points. Basically fall from the tree of Dr. Kenneth Jeffrey, and basically taught me that he's my mentor and that don't take shortcuts, escape to corners. And I don't. And so, and the other thing is, important thing to know is that there's no intent. So if I've broken any rules or regulations, I'm not here to undermine or flaunt your rules and regulations. I think they're important. They're there for a reason. And as I've been practicing for about 35 years, 31 on my own, it's been going very well, but especially the last 3 years since COVID, so everything blew up. So super busy, and which is good financially, but it does bring hardships, you know, especially staffing, where you lose one or two key assistants, one to going to a different facility and another one to vet school. So then you have to scramble and find people and train and everything. I'm not saying it's an excuse though, I'm just saying that's what it is. And I might say that my business is doing very well. I have a good success rate as far as my medicine and my surgeries and my safety. The past few years, I haven't had any fatalities. Maybe 2019 or 2020, there was two or three for specific reasons. And for a good stretch, about 25 years, like nothing, no fatalities. So I play safe and everything. But I'm not perfect, and I guess nobody really is, but occasionally we drop the ball. And so, of course, you find that I've dropped the ball. That's right here. So knowing that, and I guess you guys talked about priors, and probably will talk about that, I've taken upon myself that I realized, okay, that I am doing the same things that should be going on. So I basically called back an assistant that was out for a while with kids. And she's worked for me for about 15 years. And she's basically going to be specifically charged to help me monitor inventory and compliance. So I'm basically going to give myself a inspection monthly to get the ball rolling and make sure that everything is under control to your satisfaction. And I think that's about it. And then one last note on this inspection item number 3. I'm not so sure. I wasn't there because I was busy, probably seeing appointments, and maybe it was found, and maybe there's a miscommunication, but I'm not so sure about this repackaged pharmacy. The only thing I repackage is I redispense supply of pills, relabel little vials, name, clinic name, number, doctor, name, quantity, strength, direction, keep from pets and children, all right? That's about it. The only thing I might repackage is things like getting a sleeve of gauze and repackage it for my own use. And that's it. I don't think I repackage stuff other than what every vet does. So that's about it, really. So I think that's about it.
Okay. Comment. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ms. Solomon, you are the lead on this one.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just to respond to Dr. Chen's last comment, staff did note that this was not a potential violation of the most recent premise inspection on the repackaging of pharmacy items. But regarding the others that were noted, there are repeats from 2019. And I'm most concerned, of course, regarding the ones that deal with controlled substances. Because the response said it was due to staffing problems from the last 2 months, that doesn't apply to 2019. And the fact that these were, that there were numerous repeat violations. So I'm ready to propose a consent agreement unless board members would like to move this to an informal for questions.
Okay, proceed.
Great. Okay, I move that we adopt the findings of fact as stated in the investigative division's report for 24-26.
Okay, do I hear a second? I'm thinking.
That's a lot to peruse.
And we're just doing findings of fact.
Yes, not conclusions of law yet.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. So we have a motion and a second for the findings of fact. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay.
Now for the conclusions of law, and Annalise, please correct me if I'm referring a rule back to the wrong statute. But I would ask that if we can in future inspections, you cited the rules, which are very easy to find, but connecting it back to the statute would be very helpful. Thank you. Okay, so for conclusions of law, to go down the list as identified, and starting with item number three of the findings of fact, it's a violation of ARS 322274A5. And that is one violation regarding expired supplies found on the premises. The second violation would be regard number two under that same under the same statute and rule, it would be R311502J2, expired pharmacy items and controlled substances. I have deleted the following one, number six. Number seven would be a violation of ARS 322274A4, number, and this would be the first violation of that section, with regards to noting consistency of the concentration of administered medications. Next, number eight would be a violation of 322274A4 also, and it was rule R311502K3, excuse me, needs consistency noting drug strength in controlled substances dispensing logs. Item number nine would be ARS 322274A4, and it would be R311502K2, needs consistency noting drug strength in controlled substance inventory logs. And lastly, it would be number 10, ARS 322274A, and this would be the R311703-4 facilities need to be in clean condition. And again, because these are repeat violations from 2019, I believe all of them, and correct me if I'm wrong, Annalise, all of those were repeat violations, were they not?
Yes, except the one that was omitted, yeah.
Except the one that was omitted. Great, yes. Okay, thank you. So those would be the conclusions of law.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. A motion and a second on the conclusions of law. Is there any further discussion?
So I voted nay on the first round. So maybe I should add some discussion in here. I see a little bit difference in this case versus some of the more recent ones we've had. For one, the only, and I'm sorry I can't find what I'd been looking at earlier that I made my notes of, but the only real, I mean, there's some expired controlled substances, right? And that's always a concern. Generally, we go, what raises the red flag is missing, the missing logs. There's no missing logs. So there's no missing quantities of controlled substances. So this didn't, you know, raise all the red flags, bells and whistles for me on that.
Okay.
And then there was one notation, and I can't find it. Well, here it is. Okay. And I was going to ask the veterinarians, are there different concentrations of euthanasia solution? Does it matter?
Well, there's different products. I can't really speak to their concentrations because, like you said, it doesn't matter. You get familiar with the one you're using, and then you know how much to use. And I would assume they probably are different. There's different products, so I just assume no, there are different.
No vet's going to follow up on that case yeah. and need to know the concentration that
exactly.
was given. Because there is no case after that. You know what I mean? Like, that drug is only used for the purpose of ending life, right? Yeah. Yeah. So it's that's
definitely
kind
given.
Of...
given to
it. Well, and I guess what I have is, are there different concentrations made? Would there be any use for a different concentration?
No.
You
oh,
give a
same
different,
product.
You give a different amount for a different weight or
yeah.
whatever,
yeah.
but
yeah.
is there a different concentration?
There are.
That?
Well, like I said, there's different products.
The different products would have different concentrations. Right.
They
each
might
other.
Have different but within this one product, I've never heard of
no,
a different.
No, I haven't either. I've never seen a concentration. I've never even seen a concentration before, but I know what to write down.
So that's one of the controlled substance notations, potential violations, that I would say, okay, it's not a potential violation on the euthanasia solution.
And these are just kind of generic. I think, because if I'm sensing where you're going, which is these aren't as concerning as some of the other types of violations, but the violations are still there. Findings of fact and the conclusions of law
yeah.
are still the same. It's just how we handle it after that that varies for me
yeah.
Significantly based on what we're seeing
yeah.
and the response that we've already had and what we've already heard.
And we haven't always had that response.
Right. Yeah, and I appreciate exactly. that he actually got a monitor to monitor
yes.
him and help and you know, again, I realize he could be telling us what we want to hear, but at this juncture, you know, take at his word that he's gonna try and do better. So, and that's what we are ultimately here. You know, we want people to have successful inspection reports, and we're, you know, so.
So I guess I would raise that. I thought about it when he was speaking, that these are, when the inspector's out there, these are a list of potential violations, period, right? And that's all. It's potential.
Right.
And they get the chance to fix them. And the only reason it's here now is because the same things were found on three different inspections.
Right.
So that is why it is here. That is why we opened the case based on the three potential,
right. mm-hmm.
The repeated potential.
Right. And again, he states that, you know, his business has been busier during this time of violation. And
yes.
that's, you know, you can see how those two things go together. And, you know, it's so, okay.
Was there a second?
Yeah. Did we have a second on
conclusions
of law?
Second.
Yes.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second on the conclusions of law. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay.
May I ask Tracy for priors, please?
Yes.
So it's like in 1993, there was a lapsed vet license and there was a consent agreement offered and it's paid a $50 civil penalty, and that was it.
That was it? Okay. Then I'd like to offer a consent agreement ordering 1 year probation, 6 hours of continuing education, 2 hours in practice management, 2 hours in medical records, and 2 hours in controlled substances. And to find a penalty of $100 per repeat, as Mr. Loheed said, there it's not the missing controlled substances. Those I would be going for a $1,000 penalty on each, but these are concentration issues, accuracy issues. So I would go for $100 per each of the six for a total of $600 in civil penalty, with a re-inspection prior to the end of the probationary period. And if not signed within 30 days, go to informal.
Okay. Comments from others on that? Does that sound?
I mean, I think, to me, I put more weight on these premise issues on what are you doing differently in your clinic to fix it, and hiring somebody says a lot to me. The CE on controlled substances, we have to do if you carry a DEA every renewal, so clearly doing more CE isn't
well, going to... the controlled substance CE is for the Opioid Epidemic right. Act. It's not right. on...
It has some cover stuff on logging and how to log in.
Not all of them do, and that's not a required component of it. The required component of it is the opioid epidemic.
The one I take always covers it on high.
Right, but that's not the purpose of that CE. The purpose of the CE is to be aware of the opioid epidemic.
But I don't sense that this is a failure of knowledge on how to log. I just don't know that CE related to controlled substances is going to do anything here. I think potentially medical records from the standpoint of we can all use a reminder on accuracy and what's required in medical records. But beyond that, I'm not seeing where anything's really going to change outside of putting more oversight on these are important things to have happen in your practice. And if it requires you to see less patients to get these done, then that's what's required. Or if it requires you to hire more staff, then that's what's required. That's what's going to fix it. And that's what I'm hearing is already done, not part of your, like if he hadn't already said that, you probably would have had that in there is my guess, that like some kind of monitoring change and improper.
Well, basically my concern is that this is not a first time problem with these issues. This is repeated. Two and three times since 2019. So to me, it's not, at number one, I don't feel it's my responsibility to tell them how to fix it, simply to identify where the violations are. At this point, because they're repeats, if you want to amend my motion to include a practice monitor, I'm willing to do that. Other than that, my motion stands.
Okay. Fair enough. Any other discussion then? Okay, so let's vote and let's do roll call.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is a nay. Mr. Loheed?
Nay.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you for being here. Okay, we are now let's see, we are going to skip down to section number 4, and we're going to start with number 2, 2380, in regards to Don Hunsberger, DMD, monthly appearance required by interim consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on information presented and may amend the ICA. Hi, Dr. Hunsberger. Okay, well, why don't you start by just telling us how things are going and what's new?
Everything's going very well. The conference went well. San Diego weather. It was cloudy and rainy for 3 days.
Well, that's a bummer.
I'm glad I went. I learned some good stuff, new stuff about old stuff.
That's good.
Work is going good. Everything else is going really well.
Okay, yeah, you had a good report from your employer. And obviously, we got the confirmation test. That was our issue last time. I know in your particular instance, you know, getting these tests, you know, again, I don't work at these facilities, but we obviously, we've had a bumpy road. I think we all understand that. And I know you're frustrated, and I know we're probably not your favorite people to be in front of, but I do just want to remind you that, you know, really the issue is with the testing facility at the end of the day, and it's really not us, because I promise you, we have such long agendas that we are not trying to make, you know, your life more miserable or harder than it is. And so I noticed the tone in your emails with Victoria. I get it, you know, you're frustrated, but again, we are not the people that are trying to do that. We don't want to call special meetings, you know, outside of our board meeting either. So I just want to make sure that, you know, moving forward, I, you know, really have my fingers crossed that these tests go smoothly. But when you do have, you know, these ones where you have to get the confirmation test, you know, if they tell you that it's going to be 10 days, then at 10 days, please help us, help Victoria, by contacting them and letting us know, you know, where things are at, and not that we have to, you know, chase you down, and then we can all be on the same page. And we know that, you know, you're putting your efforts with, you know, everything you can, at least, you know, in trying to get this resolved. And that would just make everybody's life easier. And then we can just, you know, continue on with this and hopefully, you know, again, hopefully just kind of have smooth sailing from here, because, you know, again, we deal with enough of these that's ultimately, you know, I told you in the beginning, that is what our goal is here. And so it's not, you know, we're not trying to make things harder. Okay. So I just want to, you know, cause I'm sure, you know, with the testing issue last time, you know, it because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the first time, it wasn't the second time. So we just need to, you know, and again, I realize that some of these things might, you know, are out of our control, but, you know, we just, yeah. Did you want to add something?
I have a question and a comment, and okay. I'll start with my comment first. Yeah, the attitude was coming through on the email, particularly September the 15th, where you stated the board needs to find some other options or remove the requirement, as it's very frustrating. That's not the board's job. It is not our job.
Why are there no other options?
To drug testing.
Yes.
Yes, there aren't.
But there aren't.
We don't entertain any for people who have substance abuse issues.
But there are other testing options.
What do you mean by that? Another facility?
You can pick another provider.
Right.
There are blood tests. The blood tests are accurate. It's the only thing, according to several websites, and I had planned on contacting an attorney.
Okay.
Because the blood testing is the only thing that is accurate for blood alcohol.
So you would
prefer... Your breathalyzers are not. Your urine tests are not. There's a whole list from the drug testing place of everything that can cause a positive test. Yes, it's all drugs, but anything alcohol with anything in it, whether you know it's there or not, apparently I have a sensitivity to absorbing things, and I don't know what's going to cause a positive test.
Well, so
if I did, I would avoid it.
Is there a reason why she can't just do the blood test then moving forward, or do we have to amend?
I would prefer to amend it.
Okay.
But yes, we can, you know, that's the...
Is it in the consent agreement now that it's just...
That's what I'm asking, is it...
I'd have to look. I think it's fluid, though. Is
that considered...
Blood fluid.
You know, I
think we'd have to look at the wording. I think blood testing would be a lot harder. I mean, obviously...
It's more difficult for my schedule.
Exactly.
Because the testing places are 7 to 3, and I still have to get to the ER and see if they'll do a test outside of the lab's hours.
Yeah, like here, I guess my thing is while there might be other options as far as you might want to move to blood testing, you can look into that and propose what you want to think would be better for you and your situation. But I think that getting a blood test on the intervals that we have already spelled out is going to be harder.
Those
we're not trying to make it harder, but those are the other options. Going away from testing at all is not an option.
Right.
So it's kind of like, yeah, the other options are out there, but they're not great options for you, at least from what I know. But if you can find something that's better, I think it's
by all means. I don't think again, as long as we're staying with our interval, this, you know, the same frequency, then I don't think. Yeah, and I'm sorry, Victoria, I kind of wish she was sitting here for this one, but
since I'm on her laptop instead of mine, I can't find, pull up the consent agreement.
I can't either.
But I don't remember us specifying, I mean, there've been some instances where we did want hair longer.
Right, because it's 90 days.
But other than that, I'm not sure that the language.
The generic language is biological fluid testing.
That's the language.
Yeah.
Okay, so blood would qualify.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's really, I think, just, you know, communicating with board staff so that they know and that the, you know, it sounds like you may have to go to a different lab for that.
But I want to emphasize that the onus is on you to comply with the consent agreement.
Well, it's not just the frustration that I don't know why they're coming back positive. It's the cost outlay.
Right.
One, you're testing me for drugs. I don't have a drug problem. I have no evidence of a drug problem. I have no legal recourse of a drug problem. I have an alcohol problem, and I will openly admit and tell everybody I have an alcohol problem. So that's an additional expense, and then every time it comes back with a false positive, it's another expense to do the confirmatory test.
Right.
I asked the lab if they could just do that test, and they said no.
Well, so maybe moving to blood is going to be a better solution for everyone.
Or another option, I don't believe Dr. Hunsaker has, and I know I just mispronounced your last name, has had the evaluation by an addictionologist since her inpatient treatment. So that would be another option we could have, is to ask for an evaluation by an addictionologist.
How is that different than the LISAC?
Pardon?
How is that different than the LISAC?
Has the LISAC given us a written, well, I can't ask Victoria, she's not here. According to Victoria, we did not, the last time she and I emailed, which was about this, which was last month, there are no recommendations for, that we have from a LISAC. For post inpatient treatment. We don't have anything about recommendations from the LISAC. Again, I asked Victoria to double check the files, and this is what she told me, we don't have one. So that's another option to get one, but we get them, an addictionologist could be a LISAC. I mean, that's.
Because I see her regularly.
Okay, well, again, that's, I'm trying to give you an option here and give the board an option. That if you're questioning why we have what we have.
I'm not questioning the testing. I'm questioning the route of the testing.
Well, and you were just questioning why it's drugs and why it's, you know. So, I mean, and the frequency. So, I mean, that's just another avenue. If the, I'm just presenting as a board option. For what the board may want to consider.
So what's the difference between an addictionologist and a LISAC?
There is not necessarily a difference. What we would get is from an evaluation is a diagnosis and a treatment plan.
Which so, would say which we only need alcohol testing.
Right.
Or we need both.
Well, right. But I guys remember, right. I think a lot of the times they do both is because if you don't have one or you're being tested for one, there's the potential, to go to the other thing. So that's why, that's why there's
another form of coping. I think, I mean, honestly, I think we leave it as is. If you want to pursue some of these options and ask, like if you're going regularly anyway and you want to ask, then come back to us with, this is what I think it should be and we can talk about it.
But does she need to come back to us at this point? So she's asking, can I do the blood test, right? So can't she just do the, so sorry, Victoria, you missed.
Yeah,
she would like
here.
To move and do blood tests only now to try and eliminate some of these errors and issues she's having. And we discussed that within the consent agreement, it looks like bodily fluids, anything could count. We've discussed that it could be more challenging for her, but ultimately, I think she feels like this would be easier on everyone. And so again,
I think if she chooses to go blood, you don't need to come back to us to get approval for that. Just let Victoria know that that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think you're going to find that it's harder and more expensive. And if expense is part of this, that you may not choose to go that route.
Right.
But that's up to you. That's totally within your determination. I think anything on
recommended testing as far as what we're testing for or anything like that, we would, that's where we were going with the evaluation. Is if there's a new recommendation there on something different than what we're doing, get it to us and.
Well, and just remember that as the consent agreement goes on and we get farther, you know, your testing could, should change, the frequency could change, you know, so just keep that in mind. And I'm going to be careful saying that when I'm not looking at it right now and remembering what our step, but we typically have a step down.
That's you know, as go smoothly.
Exactly. I understand that. So that's where we need to be going smoothly so that then we have that, you know, kind of that evidence and all that. But yeah, and again, so I want to be really careful. I don't want to suggest that, you know, this time next year or something that there's going to be this many, but.
Well, going smoothly means we're getting negative tests. Going smoothly does not mean it's not causing havoc on your life to have to go back and get confirmation tests.
Right.
Like, that's not smooth, right. But that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at, did you get a negative test, and is that consistent, right?
Yeah, and then so, are you testing randomly? Yes.
Right.
May I, for Victoria's edification, I did bring up for the board another possible option was to get, since we don't have a post-inpatient treatment plan, that we, an option for the board, if the board wanted more direction, was to use an addictionologist, and I clarified for the doctor that that could be a LISAC, doesn't have to, I don't think it has to be, does it have to be an MD or a PhD, an addictionologist?
Madam Chair, Ms. Sullivan, typically the respondent would do whatever the order tells them to do.
Oh, right.
And, but typically, it would be an MD.
It would be. It would be. Okay. So we could, but we could modify that and say it was a LISAC, right?
Yes, because you still have an interim agreement.
Okay. I'm just laying out some options here for you and for the board. That then we would have, because the question was raised by the doctor about why are we testing for drugs and why, you know. And there's been problems in the past with questioning the frequency of the testing. So that was just another option to get some professional eyes to look at it and make a recommended treatment plan to us. That's another option. But there would be you would bear the expense of that evaluation. So that's another consideration.
Thank you.
Just laying out some options.
Okay, but other than that, I looked at your log and you've been obviously attending AA almost daily, it looks like. And so other than that, I think unless there's any other questions or you have anything else to add, I think we're good on this one. Does anybody have? Also, please note, I always forget to mention this, that Dr. Nosley is recused on this item, just for the record, so.
In the letter from the LISAC that was sent before this meeting, she suggested I was okay at once a month meetings with her. Is that acceptable for you guys that she suggested that?
What did we have in the consent agreement, Victoria? Do you
recall? We had weekly. And then it went twice a month.
We're at twice a month now?
Yes,
and
because
she said there was a
difficulty complying with the weekly. So we've already reduced it already from weekly to once every 2 weeks.
But the provider is suggesting that it just be monthly. So
does anybody see that most recent letter from the
saying
that?
I didn't see that.
I'm sorry, I might have missed it.
Did I overlook it?
A letter from who? LISAC, Angie, Northrop.
Okay. I was like, I have supervisor on board. Confirmation.
She sent it either the 27th or the 28th. After our last meeting.
And Dr. Hunsberger, I apologize for mispronouncing your name repeatedly.
I didn't see it.
So we do not have it.
So
it hasn't been shared with the board members. If staff has it, that we don't know.
So while Victoria is looking for it, if the LISAC does actually indicate in the letter that monthly is the recommended meeting time, do we want to look at changing that? Because I think that's what she's asking.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the medical professional is suggesting
I have no problem relying on the medical professional, I mean, that's what we ask.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, monthly is still pretty regular.
It's just that we need to see it.
Yeah.
If, because right now, it's, you know, it's like.
I'm just bringing it up so that we can speed things along once we get it.
Yeah.
It's like medical records, if it's not here, it doesn't exist, so.
Is this something from July?
No, it was from the end of September. I can either forward the copy I got, or I can have her resend it to you.
So is there a way for us to do this, where if Victoria gets this document that she, or we're amending the, we have to amend Mark the ICA with this new information, and we need to kind of. Do you want to pen this for?
If you amend that, or amend the, what is it, LISAC?
Yes, LISAC, however, LISAC.
That's an acronym?
I know, I was like, please help me, what does that mean? Okay, thank you.
It's a licensed substance abuse counselor.
Okay.
So if you're going to do one, might as well put both of those in that interim.
Then it could be a LISAC.
In that interim.
That does the evaluation.
Victoria, would you like me to just have her sit, pen it for a second, to sit in the audience and see if you find this document before we?
I'm not.
Or do we want to?
Pen it.
End this and just give Victoria the opportunity to get that information, and if it says go monthly, then what we want to do is amend the agreement to go to monthly.
And then we, but we have to vote on that, then we would vote on it next month, is that weird?
Right.
Well, we could vote on it right now, giving her the authority to do it.
Oh, directing Victoria.
Yeah.
So if.
Don't we have to amend the consent agreement, and that would require our action, Mark? Okay, yeah.
But if the motion is to amend it to go to monthly, if that's what is in the thing, then we're voting on that now, right?
Okay.
We're just voting before we have it.
So are you going to say that, so moved?
My concern is it's, we're stepping it down very quickly. Basically, Dr. Hunsberger has been on probation for.
We can say, let's look at it next month when we have all the information.
Great.
I'm fine with that, too.
Okay, good, yes.
And then she doesn't necessarily have to, but she doesn't have to be here next.
No.
You wouldn't have to come down next month, we would just, she.
She comes monthly.
Oh, sorry, just kidding.
That was another question, is when about into this, because I don't know, 6 months, a year, 2 years?
Again, we need a little more smooth sailing before we could.
But I don't know that the unsmooth sailing has been on any sign that there's been failure on her part. The unsmooth sailing, it's been with her test results, but she has gotten confirmations on negatives.
I just texted her and asked her if she could resend the letter to you guys.
I think if you get us that information, then we can put it on the agenda for next month to discuss what does a step down look like, and look at the recommendation for how often she's meeting with the LISAC.
And a little history about the step downs since the start, since the consent agreement that has been signed, what changes have been made.
And is there anything that you would want from this letter from the provider that would give you
maybe
comfort that you're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, just more than, a few sentences
why?
On why, as opposed to, you know, just, I'm just making this recommendation because I want to make sure it's also at the doctor's direction too, and not, you know, the client clearly asking, can we step it down, and that they feel comfortable.
Yeah, she wrote a whole summary of the last 3 months meetings and all of that with that.
It sounds like it's probably already done. We just got to get it. And so, I address it then next month. Go from there. Does that sound good?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate you being
here, Dr. Hunsberger.